presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control towers. CX-4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Fellas and girls, our special guest today is Mr. Wellwood E. Beale, Vice President in charge of engineering and sales for the Boeing Aircraft Company. Mr. Beale supervised the development of three of the most famous planes in the world, the Boeing Stratoliner, Boeing Clipper, and the Boeing B-29. At the present time, he is supervising the engineering of the new 80-passenger transport, the Stratocruiser, as well as working very closely with the United States Air Force in connection with Boeing's B-50 and the all-jet bomber, the XB-47. Mr. Beale, would you explain the recent comments from many of our newspapers inferring that America is lagging far behind England and other countries in the development of jet aircraft?
I'd be glad to, Glenn. Actually, the British have abandoned today in favor of tomorrow. They've taken the long view in an effort to recover from the setback their air transport business suffered during the war. As you know, England had to devote its factories to the production of warplanes and depend on America for transports. With the end of the war, however, British aviation experts realized there was little chance for their manufacturers to compete with us in today's market, so they are attempting to cover in one giant leap the distance which American aviation is setting out to cover in a series of short steps. I believe we in America will reach the ultimate goal, practical, flying, jet-powered aircraft, abreast of or ahead of any other nation.
Fellas and girls, Mr. Beale will be back with us in just a few minutes to tell us about America's future jet planes, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Escaping from a large oil storage tank where they had been left to die by Roy Saunders, owner of a Wildcat Petroleum Company, Hop and Tank returned to the town of Yellow Creek early in the evening for a showdown. They walked straight into the ramshackle two-story building serving Saunders as an office, and then proceeded cautiously down a dark hall until they came to a door where light showed through a crack. Tank was ready to charge in swinging, but Hop, with instinctive caution, slowed him down, opened the door quietly, and was utterly bewildered to see elderly Max Kell sitting inside, alone, calmly thumbing through a magazine.
I don't get this. What's he doing here?
You've got me. Maybe he's waiting for Saunders.
Maybe.
Gosh, Hopper, I'm all mixed up. I thought he was trying to help us. What do we do now?
We better stand pat.
Huh?
Find another room, hide out, and listen to what goes on in there before we start throwing any weight on it.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Hold that. I'll close the door.
Roger.
Who's there?
He heard us. Want to run for it.
Who's there, I say?
Too late. We'll have to face him.
Okay.
Good evening, Mr. Kell.
Why, Mr. Harrigan and Mr. Tinker.
Surprised to see us?
Yes, I am. I didn't hear you come in. I had no idea you were in the building.
Oh, we get around.
Heavens, what's happened to you? Your clothes, your faces. Have you been in an accident?
Might call it that.
How terrible. Here, please sit down. You both look completely worn out.
Thanks, we're all right.
Is there anything I can do for you?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Kell, there is. You might tell us what you're doing here.
Oh?
Well, how about it, Mr. Kell?
It's really quite childish. I don't know how to explain. I'm a little embarrassed.
Yes?
Well, you see, Mr. Harrigan, when I saw you this afternoon, I didn't quite tell you the truth.
Go on.
I came to Yellow Creek just for riding the bus, I said. Remember, to get a change of scenery?
I remember. And you said you was going to catch the next bus back to the plant. I remember that, too.
This is terrible, terrible.
You were explaining, Mr. Kell.
Yes, of course. Well, I'm really trying to be a detective.
A what?
Yes, silly, isn't it, an old man like me?
Why?
Well, ever since you mentioned sabotage, I've been so terribly worried, and I thought I might be able to help you in some manner. Please don't think too harshly of me, Mr. Harrigan. I thought I was doing the right thing.
Mr. Kell, what detective work brought you to this office?
I'm coming to that, Mr. Harrigan. You see, there's something about Carla Davis. I just don't trust the girl somehow. It's a dreadful thing to say, I know, but you asked me.
Why don't you trust her?
I have a strange feeling, that's all. Well, I really came to Yellow Creek this morning to follow her.
Uh-huh.
I stayed behind her all the way down the street, and I saw her come into this building. Then I saw you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't know what to do then. I was very upset, and I was afraid that if I didn't speak to you and you saw me, well, you might become suspicious.
Suspicious?
Well, you know how things are, Mr. Harrigan. And I didn't want to tell you what I was doing. Well, I was afraid you'd laugh at me.
So what did you do after you left us?
Well, I didn't know quite what to do, so I went back to Main Street and walked around. Then, by a strange coincidence, I saw Carla again. Let me see. This was about an hour ago. I followed her, but she only went to the bus station and waited.
Did you talk to her?
No, I decided to come back here and... Well, that's all.
You didn't see Saunders?
Oh, Mr. Harrigan, he wasn't here. The whole building is empty as far as I know. So I decided to sit here and wait.
For what?
Well, to talk to someone. Perhaps find out what's been going on.
Boy, you sure got plenty of nerve.
Oh, it's a little foolish, I suppose, but who'd want to hurt an old man like me?
That mug Saunders, Mike. Yeah, you've got what it takes, Pop.
Oh, but thank you for calling me Pop again, Mr. Tinker. I was quite worried. I thought you might suspect my motives.
Oh, not a chance. Mr. Kell, I don't think you'd better hang around anymore. It's a little too dangerous.
Oh, well, anything you say.
Saunders may be back at any time, and there'll be trouble.
Well, could I help?
No, I'm afraid not. All right, you go on back to the plant.
Very well, if you insist.
And you better not say anything to anyone about this, Mr. Kell.
Well, of course not. But please be careful. Don't take any chances. This is a dangerous thing you're doing.
We can handle ourselves okay. Don't worry.
Yes, I believe you can. Well, goodbye and good luck.
All right, Pop. See you at the plant. Can you imagine the nerve of the little guy? Well, it's 60 if he's a day and he's ready to tackle a guy like Saunders.
Come on, Ben.
Where are we going?
I want to make sure Kell doesn't start to do any more detective work. Quiet now.
See him?
Yeah. He just went out.
Good. Didn't want him to get in trouble.
Close this door and let's have a look around while we've got the chance.
Saunders' death? He might come back any second.
We'll be ready for him. I want to know how he fits into this, what he has to do with the Wailing Witch. Now, let's see.
Nothing but a mess of papers.
I'll check through them. You look into the other drawers.
Okay. More papers here. The Queen. Must be a station there.
Petroleum company headings?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's all there is. Let's see what's in this one. Cigarettes, paper clips, pads. There's nothing here. How you doing?
Not so good. All company stuff, bills and letters and so forth.
Maybe I'll be lucky this time. Empty. Well, only one left, Pop.
I guess we're barking up the wrong tree.
Hey, it's locked.
Huh?
Want me to bust it open?
After what he did to us, I think we have a right to. Go ahead.
He'll know he was here.
He'll know anyhow. Go ahead.
This is going to be tough.
I'll help you. Let me get my hands on it, too.
Anyway, yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, get it.
Now, let's see.
Only some more papers.
What? Can't be the blueprints.
Yeah, what?
Well? Well, nothing. These are the plans for Simon Gore's flying wing.
Spreading the blueprints on the desk, Hop bends over them and scans the drawings closely. Here are the plans for the flying wing, perfect in every detail. But how did Roy Saunders get them? Just what is his interest in the flying wing? We'll learn more in a moment, gang, so stand by. Fellas and girls, our guest today is Mr. Wellwood E. Beale, Vice President of Boeing Aircraft's Engineering and Sales Departments. Mr. Beale, would you give us a brief resume of Boeing's jet projects?
After 2.5 years of research, we have developed 2 successful small jet engines of our own and have designed and built the XB-47, the first jet bomber that embodies aerodynamic characteristics designed specifically for jet propulsion, such as swept-back wings.
What is the probability of an all-jet transport in the near future, Mr. Beale?
Leaders of the British aircraft industry recently declared it will be at least 5 years before they succeed in putting turbojet engines in airplanes designed for jet flight on the air routes. They're predicting also that an additional 5-year period will be required before many jet transports can be placed on the air lanes. I believe the British are entirely right in putting their faith in the eventual ascendancy of the jet engine. But it will take time. My conviction is it will be 10 years before the major airlines will be able to use jet planes on regular schedules. Here in America, however, we're moving toward this jet future without sacrificing the present. When the proper stage of development has been reached, jet will most certainly replace the reciprocating engine.
Have any of the companies started to build commercial airliners utilizing an all-jet engine?
No, Glenn. Neither the American nor the British aviation industry is yet in a position to lay down a basic design for a commercial plane which utilizes jet power.
Well, thank you very much for being with us today, Mr. Wellwood Beale. Fellows and girls, get set now to take your place in the sky along with the jets of the future. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Searching through Roy Saunders' desk for some clue as to his activities and his connection with the mystery of the Wailing Witch, Hoff and Tank have discovered a set of blueprints, complete and detailed plans of the experimental flying wing. Spreading them on the desk, the boys examine them closely.
Scores plane, all right, down to the last wing plate. How'd Saunders get them?
Look at this.
What?
The signature in the lower right-hand corner. These plans were made up by Simon Gore himself. This is no copy.
Wow, something don't smell right in Denmark. Gore never mentioned he lost any plans, did he?
No.
What's Saunders' angle, anyhow? What's he want with the plans?
I'm trying to figure it out. I had an idea. He might be trying to wreck the flying wing because it was jet-propelled.
I don't follow you.
Well, it was a wild idea. Kind of silly now that I think about it.
What, for Pete's sake?
Well, Saunders is in the petroleum business. Jet propulsion would cut down his market. The Army and the Navy wouldn't buy high-octane gas, or at least not as much.
Yeah, but why wreck the flying wing? There's plenty more jet jobs around. All the big guys are making them. Douglas, Boeing, everybody. Besides, he ain't the only guy selling high-octane gas.
Exactly. That's why my reasoning's out of line.
Yeah? What do we do with this stuff?
Take it with us. Come on, let's roll them up.
You gotta tell Gore?
Depends. He's got a lot of explaining to do.
What about Saunders? Are we gonna wait for him?
I don't know. He might not be back for the rest of the night, and I hate to waste time.
Then we're going back to the plant now?
Yeah, I think we better. Here, hang on to these blueprints.
Check.
Let's go.
Leave the drawer like that?
Oh, we have to. The whole front section is ripped out.
Uh-oh, hear that? The front door. Turn out the light. Watch him. Somebody's coming down the hall.
One person?
I think so. I ain't sure. Maybe it's Saunders. Boy, I hope so.
Stay behind the door.
Okay. There he comes. Okay, Tank. Stand by to give it all you've got.
Slowly the door opens, creaking on its hinges. Hop and Tank wait tensely in the darkness. They can see nothing, no shadow, no outline. They're ready to jump to the attack. If this is the showdown with Roy Saunders, you won't want to miss it, so be sure to tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's base of the airwaves. Come on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.